Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
What a week. I don't even know how to jam it all in. Golly, Representative Thomas Massie wrapped up the first half of the week the best in this tweet. He writes, D.C. establishment Republicans just voted to spy on you without a warrant. And boy, did they ever. They could have just re-upped the FISA spying, but they went a step further. Remember, our government's not supposed to be able to use the NSA spying on Americans. It's only supposed to spy on terrorists overseas. The Republicans chucked that out and said the FBI could have enhanced powers. Folks, this is a police state in a box that it could co-opt any business, any rental house, any commercial rental, you know, any basically anybody who has a router, and force them to spy on you. They can do this without having to get a warrant, without ever having any court supervision of any kind, and with the automatic power to gag you so you can never tell anyone about it. And if you don't comply, you can go to prison. Again, if the purpose of 702 spying power is to spy on terrorists who don't have constitutional rights in other countries, why do they need these rights in this country? Why? Because these establishment Republicans who claim to hate the FBI just built this police state that I would expect from Joe Biden. I would expect from the Democrats, and they were big fans of it, too. Well, then they topped that off this weekend by sending $100 billion of your money overseas. What was so galling about that part is that the Republican Party actually got that right. That's right. Republican Congress members voted no. The majority voted no. But then something staggering happened. The speaker used Democrat votes and a handful of Republican votes to overcome, to overwhelm, to crush the will of the Republican majority in Congress. The Republican majority who elected him speaker. The situation was so insane by Tuesday that Democrat Representative Ro Khanna vowed that the Democrats love Republican Speaker Mike Johnson so much that they would vote to keep him speaker, to protect him from Republican retribution because he's so loyal to them. We've never seen this before.
Does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out?
He does. Yeah. And we had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I give him credit for doing this.
That was what was so outrageous. Mike Johnson had promised Republicans for 6 months no Ukraine bill would pass unless it contained border security. Border security measures that would force Joe Biden to close the border. But in the end, he screwed over the entire Republican caucus, broke apart the bills so that Democrats and Mike Johnson and a handful of rogue Republicans could vote down the border security. Again, the majority of Republicans in Congress voted for it, but they got crushed by Mike Johnson and the Democrats, which is why Ro Khanna was on CNN vowing that Democrat congressmen would protect the speakership of Mike Johnson from Republicans who want to remove him.
Okay, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you will protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him?
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Speaker Jeffers will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues, and I've been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job till the end of this term.
Once again, the majority of Republicans in Congress voted to do the right thing, but Mike Johnson partnered with the Democrats to run them slap over, which led to this bizarre scene. The Democrats laughing, cheering, waving Ukrainian flags and mocking the Republicans in Congress, who you remember are supposed to be in the majority in the House. This is how ridiculous that was. Listen to them laugh and cheer as Speaker Johnson stabs Republicans in the back to get the Ukraine funding through. You can't see this, but they're waving Ukrainian flags. And you and I both know they would never be caught dead waving an American flag on the floor of Congress, or God forbid, anywhere else. It got so insane at one point that Gerald Connolly, a Democrat congressman, actually admitted from the floor of the House what has never been said before, but we all have thought, that to the swamp, to the Democrats and the Republican leadership, the border of Ukraine is actually more important than the border of America.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
And with that, Democrats and a handful of Republicans voted to kill the border security bill, because of course they did. Which leads us to insane thing number four. As we hit midweek, we'd find out what was actually in some of these aid bills. The one to Israel was a particular horror. $26 billion, a third of it, $9 billion to Gaza. Folks, the elected government of Gaza is the Hamas terror group. They don't just live in Gaza or operate from there. They are the elected government. Since only 2 million people actually live in Gaza, how many dollars is that per person? Roughly $4,500 or $18,000 for a family of four. Bet you could have used that. Well, too bad. They sent it to Gaza. Folks, all this is going to do is refuel Hamas for more fighting against Israel. It's the much needed charge in the arm. And folks, before they raped and brutally butchered 30 Americans, you know, they killed 30 Americans on October 7th and took six hostage. They didn't have $9 billion. Now they do, thanks to Mike Johnson, who, and this is insane thing number four, had the unmitigated gall to pass that monstrosity, $9 billion in funding for Gaza. Again, folks, Hamas completely controls Gaza, the parts that Israel hasn't turned to rubble anyway. And so nothing's getting in or out of there without them owning and controlling it. So we just gave the equivalent of $18,000 worth of aid per Gazan family of four to Hamas. They're going to be able to dig in for years with that and fight Israel. So we are really funding both sides. But our speaker had the unmitigated gall to pass that mess and then go to Columbia University and lecture the pro-Hamas supporters there about how they're wrong. Well, at least the pro-Hamas supporters on Columbia University didn't give them $9 billion like you did, Mike. I say that makes you the biggest pro-Hamas supporter of all on Columbia's campus that day. And just to show you how screwed up America is, we run on confusion and ignorance in this country. Those kids showed up to jeer Mike Johnson, our speaker, for 18 straight minutes before he gave up. They should have been cheering him. They should have been praising him. He just bailed Hamas out. He's not the enemy. But the media they consume is so poisoned, they didn't even know he's their new best friend. Folks, it was like a clash of idiots. Meanwhile, insane thing number three, the financial media finally admitting we're in stagflation. When you see everybody from Yahoo News to Business Insider to Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase admitting, yeah, we're pretty much in 1970s style stagflation, you know it's bad because these people exist to lie to you. And what just happened? Well, fourth quarter GDP was 3.4%. First quarter just came in at 1.6%. Yes, that's devastating. That's roughly 50% below Goldman Sachs' expectations. But then it gets worse. At the same time, the U.S. core PCE price index soared from 2% to a staggering 3.7%, meaning the economy is slowing down, growth is slowing down, but inflation is speeding up. Folks, they had already sacrificed the real estate industry to high interest rates to tamp down the 9% inflation. What happened, folks? That 9% inflation never went away. It's really closer to 20, but the way they calculate it now, it comes in at 9. It would be around 20 if it was in the 1970s. It never went anywhere. Nothing ever changed. All that happened was they raised rates to try to cover it up, in the process making the average middle class house for the average middle class family completely unaffordable and decimating the real estate industry. That is the price that Congress is willing to pay to keep printing. What is causing this? And the headlines are amazing. Jamie Dimon is worried U.S. economy is headed back to the 1970s. That's Business Insider. Jamie Dimon himself saying the odds of a soft landing, which he had put at 70% before for the economy, he now said, I'm going to slash those in half. We're probably not going to have a soft landing. This is going to be bad. Folks, what is causing this? Well, let's go back to what got Kevin McCarthy kicked out as Speaker of the House. Remember, the Republicans had written a bill, passed it through the House, had popular support for it in polling to cut spending. But then Kevin McCarthy screwed everyone over, stabbed everyone in the back, went to the White House over the holiday weekend in May and cut a deal saying, hey, you know what? We'll lock in the top line COVID spending amount. What does that mean? Remember when we were printing checks to pay people to stay home? It turns out for no reason, because it was based on pseudoscience made up by Anthony Fauci. But remember when we were paying businesses and people to stay home and just printing the money? Yeah, they locked in that level of spending, but nobody's staying home and getting those checks anymore. That's how ridiculous the printing and borrowing still is in Washington. We are still going as if we are at the peak or very close to it of COVID spending. Well, Kevin McCarthy screwed over the Republicans, threw out the deal, told no one he was going, and then used Democrat votes and a few Republican turncoats to defeat the majority of his own party. He was rightly thrown out of the speakership for it and replaced with Mike Johnson, who promised, hey, I'm going to do individual funding bills. I'm going to let you get in and cut in, you know, inside those bills, because it takes appropriations bills to do that. Right now, they're passing spending on continuing resolution, which doesn't let you cut. So Mike Johnson said, yeah, we'll cut. It's going to be great. We'll do it in January. He never did. So Mike Johnson once again joined with the Democrats to ram through the same budget that keeps the top line COVID spending. This is why we're broke. This is why when you go to a 7% interest rate mortgage and a destruction of the real estate market and the end really of the American dream, because Americans can't buy houses anymore. I mean, think about it. When Trump left office, the average mortgage payment on a middle class, middle of the road house was about $1,400. Now it's $3,400. So that's where we are today. It's absolutely massive. And Congress had just decided to sacrifice the real estate market, sacrifice the American dream to high interest rates so they could keep printing. It's not working anymore. Inflation is ticking up despite the high interest rates. It's crushing the economy. We are in stagflation, classic stagflation. And there's only one reason for it. Congress won't stop printing. But no one will say that. Everybody acts surprised on these stupid financial channels where they act like, wow, who could have said? Yeah, it's couldn't be any more obvious. So obvious, by the way, that last week, the International Monetary Fund, a left-wing globalist operation, not a right-wing operation at all, warned that if America did not stop printing and borrowing, we are headed for an unsustainable situation, a catastrophe, really. And they warned that we're printing so much money, it's sloshing into the international economy. It's destroying other countries' people's ability to borrow. We are basically polluting the world, and we're on our way to destroying our economy. The IMF warned, we've got to stop. Folks, you know what's so crazy about this? They sound just like the Republican Freedom Caucus in Congress. And the Republican Freedom Caucus in Congress is treated like a bunch of idiots by the Democrats and the Republican leadership. That's how out of touch they are. It's like my fellow radio host Charlie James said this week, the economy's just gone off the cliff and Congress is like Thelma and Louise in the car mashing the accelerator. I mean, the visual is hilarious, but the reality is not. So we are headed into stagflation with no leadership on either side capable or willing to stop it. That's an insane thing we've never seen before. Yes, we've seen the stagflation of the 1970s that we're about to live through again. That's not new. But what is new is that in the 1970s, they were willing to battle it, acknowledge it, and battle it. We're not. The plan is just to live this way. Hey, the average middle-class family now has to rent, can't afford a house. Oh, well. Well, hey, the average middle-class family now can only afford one car, not two. Hey, okay, fine, that'll be good. We'll just keep printing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Insane thing number two. This in history will be remembered if the Democrats succeed as the week they destroyed the grid, the energy delivery system, our ability to get food, and really the entire U.S. economy. It started with Earth Day and this announcement by the Biden administration.
And the White House telling Fox Business it's now considering declaring a national climate emergency. Oh. If the president declares a climate emergency, what impact does that have?
This is the serious story of the today. NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares a national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency. And they also compared the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime-like powers by which to bypass democracy and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote of Congress. This is truly this should be a Halloween story, not a story for Earth Day. This is a truly frightening story, and he might just be desperate enough to do it. This is being widely reported in the media. The Biden White House is leaking this out. This might happen, and this is going to give Joe Biden these kind of, you want to say the word, dictatorial powers. He doesn't need no stinking democracy to impose the Green New Deal if he does this.
Longtime listeners to the show know what those powers are. If he declares a climate emergency, it will trigger the provisions of the Lever Act, or rather, Democrats can choose to. It's been on the books since 1917, and it's been used before. It gives the federal government the ability to completely take over means of production and delivery for food and fuel. It's total power, the kind of power Stalin had and used to control whole populations. And I'll put the link in the podcast description so you could read more about the Lever Act. I've been talking about it for a while, how the climate change declaration would give them that power. But they're coming at it from two angles. They have a very clear plan to collapse the grid. Simply put, it's two parts. By 2032, mandate that 2/3 of the cars sold be EVs and strip between 15 and 60% of the electricity out of the grid by 2032. It's better than banning cars, I've explained in the past, because you can still buy a car. Yeah, and then you just plug it in and nothing happens. Same with your computer and your factory. Oh, it'll be green, all right. Well, Joe Biden took the devastating step to make that happen, the second phase of it. where if coal fire plants don't capture over 90% of their carbon emissions, which right now has never been done on a coal fire plant. It's been done in a lab, but it's never been done on a coal fire plant. If they can't do that, they have to shut down. Right now, coal is about 16% of our energy sources. So by 2032, if they don't have this thingamajigger attached to the coal fire plant, they have to shut down. Yes, it's not a coincidence. It's the same year that 2/3 of the new fleet sold at auto dealerships has to be. Biden, like the wannabe dictator he is, knows what he is doing. So this is the second phase of this. With the flick of his pen, he dictated that 15% of the power in the country will shut down. Now, if somehow, some way, and by the way, nobody knows what this will cost because it's never been done. Somehow, some way, they managed to get these scrubbers onto these plants. It's going to skyrocket the cost of energy. Either way, they win. By the way, this coal executive order was the first of two. The second one would apply the scrubbers to natural gas plants. That's 43% of our electricity. So we're talking about 60% of our electricity gone by 2035 if they can't get the scrubbers on. And if they can get the scrubbers on, it would be incredibly expensive. Folks, you know how radical it is when the Associated Press is quoting Rich Nolan. He's the president and CEO of the National Mining Association. And he says, quote, of these rules that Joe Biden has passed with his pen, quote, the EPA is systematically dismantling the reliability of the U.S. energy grid. Yeah. And he accused Biden of, quote, ignoring our energy reality, forcing the closure of well-operating coal plants that repeatedly come to the rescue during times of peak demand. The repercussions, he says, of this reckless plan will be felt across the country by all Americans. Now, we can still try to stop it in court, or we can elect President Trump and it all goes away on day one. But folks, just the fact that they would contemplate this, that he would sign an executive order doing this, there's no words for it. It shows you just the absolute deranged level of destruction that they want. Finally, insane thing number one, the world globalist cabal makes its move to silence Americans to get around the First Amendment. We really saw this out of Australia this week. Here's what happened. There was an Assyrian priest, very beloved guys, actually wonderful videos and sermons on YouTube. He is not one of them. He was targeted by a 16-year-old Islamist screaming Allahu Akbar and stabbed viciously and repeatedly on the altar. It was a shocking attack. Well, the censors in Australia actually now has an e-safety commissioner. Yeah, like right out of the USSR. Well, the censors in Australia demanded that X, according to their censorship law, remove the video, make it unavailable. And Musk complied for Australians, saying, okay, I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to take it down so Australians can't see it. Well, the e-safety commissioner said that's not good enough. She wanted it taken down in America and everywhere in the world. In other words, she's demanding that Musk censor Americans. And what's really scary is that X is the only platform that didn't comply. Facebook took it down. And here's why this is so important. She was claiming, well, you know, it's violent. People shouldn't have to see it. But that's not what this is about. No, this is being used as a, you know, cautionary tale by people in Australia, but all over the world about Islamic immigration and the dangers of Islamic immigration. And it was very much an embarrassment to the liberal Australian political class who has backed backed immigration and in particular Islamic immigration. So instead of having the debate, they just wanted to shut everybody up. And that was the point of blocking the video. They also, by the way, requested that Musk ban other posts simply talking about the video in a negative way. So this wasn't really just about the video. So this is them making their move. This idea that any bureaucrat in any nation, anywhere, can censor your account. This is the second time this has happened in 2 weeks. The last time it's happened, it was actually Brazil and their censors, who were part of their Supreme Court, demanding that accounts inside of Brazil be taken down, including accounts of elected officials who were merely engaging in debate. But the demands also stretched all the way to U.S. shores, where they want Americans censored. Once again, Elon Musk is the only one. Folks, if he wasn't standing up, First Amendment gone, absolutely gone at the hands of these people. He's it. That's it. The only reason we have First Amendment online is because Elon Musk rolled out of bed one day and said, you know what? I think I'll spend $44 billion to save free speech on the planet Earth, or it would be gone. It gives me chills talking about that. So he's now clashing with two countries. Officials in both countries are either, in the case of Brazil, demanding his arrest. By the way, ex-staff has already had to flee Brazil because they are subject to arrest. And in Australia, Australian senators were demanding Musk's arrest. So this is real. This is a very, very big deal. And folks, I would not be surprised if one of these countries tries to arrest Musk if Biden doesn't extradite him. Do not be surprised if he gets extradited to one of these countries. But you know what's so shocking? These are mainline Western countries. They're supposed to be. Brazil has a very dictatorial leftist leader right now, but just a few years ago, they had a populist leader like Trump. And Australia? I mean, Australia? And you know what they're arguing? This is what's so shocking, okay? Essentially, they've adopted a Chinese-style system where they can block posts from America. China has one of those, too. It's like a digital wall. But what the Australian e-commissioner, this e-safety commissioner, is arguing is, well, people could use VPNs to get around it like they do in China and see these posts criticizing, Australian officials, criticizing immigration, criticizing this knife attack. There were two knife attacks, actually, in the last few weeks. They could get around with VPNs. Therefore, Elon Musk has to take it down. Folks, I mean, in China, they use VPNs to get around the digital wall. Tell me at this point, in terms of censorship, what is the difference between China and Australia? And I'll tell you, China is a freer country. Wait, what? Yeah, because China's not demanding that Elon Musk or Instagram or any of them take down American posts. Only Australia is doing that. This is shocking, folks. It is shocking how the left is tilting toward dictatorship, is tilting toward the authoritarianism, the Soviet-style authoritarianism that when I was a kid, we were fighting across the West and prided ourselves for fighting. Finally, bonus insane thing number one, because I really couldn't decide what number one was. It's got to be the spread of these anti-Semitic protests to more campuses. Folks, one of the most shocking things this week was Mayor Adams of New York saying, hey, listen, a lot of these protesters at Columbia U, at NYU, who have Jewish students so afraid they're not going to class, so afraid that a rabbi at Columbia University cautioned Jews, look, don't come on campus, don't go to class, it's not safe. A lot of these protesters, according to the liberal mayor of New York, aren't students. And yet they've been allowed to come on campus by the leadership of these universities and terrorize Jewish kids who are students. It's incredible. But folks, this is just a continuation of the BLM riots. What they're doing, the left is they're conditioning society to this idea that if left-wing mobs are angry, they have a right to violence. They have a right to intimidate whoever they want. They have a right to take over whatever property they want. No laws, norms apply to them. Folks, do you remember all the photos of the forcible integration of schools? Black children forcibly integrated into schools. It took the National Guard to have peace during that integration. Why? They were protecting the children's civil rights, as they should have been, right? And who takes credit for that? The left does, right? Democrats do. You're watching the undoing of that this week. You're watching the rewinding of that this week As the left is maintaining, hey, we have a right to spew our anti-Semitism on campus, as leftist administrators have failed to call for the National Guard to come in, as the governor of New York has failed to send the National Guard in. Joe Biden could do it, too. It has been requested that he do it by Republican Congress members. He will not. So you're watching the opposite of the 1960s civil rights movement, which really was kicked off by the integration by force of Southern schools. You are watching the undoing of that. This new standard that if you are Jewish, then we're going to let people come on campus, terrorize you. You could keep paying tuition, but you know what? You should really just go to school online the rest of the year because we don't want to make them mad. I mean, it's so bad now that the USC commencement was canceled because these people are mad and might get violent. And yet nowhere is anyone on the left or anyone in the media saying, hey, you know what? Let's arrest them. We'll make it safe. We'll go in there. We'll round them up. We'll go right about our business. Why? Because this is once again dual justice. This is once again conferring onto them special privileges and rights to terrorize other less politically valued classes. They are conditioning the American people, folks, and it's got to stop. Finally, clip of the week, folks. Gotta be it. This moron. She's protesting at NYU, but she doesn't know why she's protesting. Yeah, she looks like the Bride of Satan, by the way. She's got one of these bull rings in her nose. I just want to clip something to her like a dog and lead her away on a leash, but whatever. And she's asked why she's protesting, and she turns to her friend who's protesting with her, and her friend doesn't know either. Take a listen.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there off at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
It was apparently no different at George Washington University. Here's Laura Ingraham interviewing a student there, Josh Shapiro, who spent a lot of time at the protest.
Do you get a sense that most of the people at the protests really understand fully what they're protesting, what they want?
No, I don't think everyone fully understands. I think most people are truly well-meaning people and that they think they see an injustice in the world, and they think that they should fight that injustice. They're probably seeing a lot of propaganda, especially my generation. Most people get their news from social media, which isn't exactly reliable. Not everything that they're chanting for, they have a full comprehension of. For example, there was a chant about it was endorsing Intifada, which was like a violent resistance primarily against Israeli civilians. Which is, a whole point of the rallies is that we're trying to minimize violence against civilians. So I don't think a lot of people understand what Intifada is.
But there are some who clearly do. You know who nailed it this week? Senator Tom Cotton, who said, you know what we're seeing? We don't recognize it because, they went on for hundreds of years in Europe, but we've never seen it here. We're seeing pogroms. Look up pogroms. The most famous pogrom was Kristallnacht, where the windows of Jewish businesses were smashed. But Jews were routinely rounded up, beaten, and worse for hundreds of years of European history. Some even converted, changed their last names to try to hide from the mobs. The mobs are here now. You want to know what a pogrom looks like? This is what a pogrom looks like. This is what happened this week at City College to the president of Jewish Students for America. Here he is describing the video of it on Fox News.
Yeah, so what we're seeing in that video is me approaching the encampment there just with my phone out, me by myself as a very Orthodox Jewish presenting individual, and they immediately approached me, found out who I was, and they carried that information to what is essentially a command node in the center of that encampment of about 200, 250 students, and they instantly started blaring music, they surrounded me, they had very threatening messaging directly toward me. They said that they were going to beat me up. They then shoved me very violently and hid the person who shoved me. My yarmulke, my Jewish cap, fell off onto the floor, and they dared me to pick it up in a very threatening manner.
Why did
you
go to the pro-Palestinian encampment?
So I have a cousin, actually, who goes to that school, and I wanted to check it out for myself and see what it would be like for her. She also presents very openly Orthodox, and I was frightened what that would mean for her when school resumes.
Are you having any reasonable conversations with pro-Palestinian students?
So out of the 200 people there, there were two people there that were somewhat normal. One of them actually was kind enough to help pick up my kippah, and he escorted me out. He said, listen, it's just not safe here. But if that's the reality, if they're saying it's not safe here for you and the schools aren't doing anything about it, that's an issue.
But let's be clear. This isn't this rising, shocking wave of anti-Semitism we haven't seen, since really World War II. This isn't America. This is the left. The left has done this. This is the full unmasked evil of the left, with no one willing to forcefully tell them no.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.